105 Drive with Julian Clover.
It's a Friday night, and that means this week at least, it's time for the Gadget Guide. This week, no Rob, but we do have Lawrence, and we have special guest Mib.
Yeah, hello Julian, and hello Mark.
Hi Lawrence, hi Julian.
Hello, welcome
Rob
both.
Stunt Double.
The Stunt Double,
Rob,
yeah.
Rob Stunt Double.
Yeah.
we'll let him know what he's actually let you in for, because Rob tends to go up poles and ladders and climb around scaffolding and
I can do that.
Shimmy up trees.
That's
and so
fine.
On.
All during the course of the program.
Normally with things like saws and sharp implements in his hands.
Well, I've had my piece of cake for the coffee morning, so I'm ready.
lots of sugar. He'll do anything after that. Okay, then. So, what are we talking about this week?
Gadget Guide number 55, and we're talking about home automation again. And we're revisiting a topic that we first covered in January 2013, where Rob and I went and visited Mark in Burwell and looked at his house and all of the interesting things he's got in it.
And I'm thinking that in that period, quite a bit has probably changed. It seems to be, from what I see at least, getting just a little bit more consumer-friendly. A few brands are starting to appear, not just in the electronic shops, but also pretty much on the high street as well, which consumers can clip into place.
Yes, anyway, we'll get on to that after a bit of a quick tech news wind-up.
Okay.
On what's been going on. So some of the big ones, of course, Apple iPhone 6, and it's Bendgate time.
Or not.
Or not.
Or not, yes.
Yes, there's conflicting reports. Apple claiming only 9 people have reported their phones being bent, but lots more people tweeting about it and on social media claiming that their phones have been bent.
I've seen videos of people going to great lengths to prove that their phones will bend if they try hard enough.
Well, this is the thing. If you try hard enough, you can probably bend and break most things. It's whether or not it does it. I guess a lot of people keep their phones in the back pocket. And if it doesn't survive that, don't Apple do this test, which is supposed to be the equivalent of slipping it in your back pocket for goodness knows how many hours?
You'd like to think so, but yes. Although some people saying front pockets bend just as badly. What's great is the amount of other competing brands have come up with responses on Twitter and other social media.
I'm sure Belkin has an adapter to put it back again.
So, LG's response was, our phone doesn't bend, it flexes on purpose, because they've got a slightly flexible phone.
Oh, dear.
Samsung's response was, ours is curved, not bent, for their new Galaxy Note, which has the curved edge. HTC says, ours is designed to withstand the most demanding environments, like your pockets.
I'd argue, actually, that probably worse than that is the whole software thing.
Right, so yes, they released an update to iOS 8, iOS 8 being the latest version that came out with the iPhone 6. It came out a couple of days beforehand, but available for everything from an iPhone 4S upwards. And then they brought out an update to 8.01 very quickly afterwards, which made you think, well, how did they actually have enough bugs to stick in an update that was a week after the original release?
Well, wasn't that to remove all the HealthKit features that they suddenly realised had lots of bugs in?
It was, yes, and then they introduced another bug which broke some people's phones and stopped them actually being able to talk to the mobile network and being able to unlock, but mainly iPhone 6s. So new phones, iOS 8.01, and things stopped working.
Yeah, I had an iOS 8.01 on my iPhone 5S and it worked fine. All the things that they were claiming were failing in the States carried on working for me, but that was a 5 rather than a 6.
So, and 8.02 came out this morning, of course.
It did. 8.02 is out, about 65 to 72 megs of download, depending on if it's an iPad or iPhone. And that apparently fixes most things. Of course, we'll wait and see what breaks.
I installed that this morning and it didn't fix anything because something was broken for me, but it doesn't seem to have broken anything new either.
And Apple's response is, if your iPhone 6 is somewhat bricked because of the 8.01 update, take it to an Apple Genius counter and they'll sort you out.
Again, they are very good there, we should say, after being a bit horrible to Apple, and possibly deservedly. I always find the Genius folks are pretty good.
They are certainly the most responsive when it comes to a customer service environment. You know, you can walk into an Apple store with your Apple product and have someone see you and deal with it. None of the other manufacturers can claim that.
No, and others charge a small fee for it, although one might say that Apple's so expensive in the first place, it's just
they,
as well.
They charge you
free.
The fee in advance.
Yeah, precisely.
Yes. The other big news is Shell Shock, and this is the exploit now affecting Bash, which is the shell script environment on Linux, macOS and other Unix environments. So this is an exploit that could potentially lead to someone running code on your machine without your permission.
That sounds very techie, and it doesn't just affect what you traditionally think of as computers. There are some routers.
Routers, you know, ADSL router, wireless access points, and lots of embedded hardware.
Some TVs even.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah. Set-top boxes and TVs. So it is quite a serious exploit. Apple are saying that OS X is affected if you've turned on advanced Unix services. So I'm guessing if you know that you've turned that on, you are potentially vulnerable. They're saying that there'll be a patch out shortly, but CentOS, Debian and Red Hat have released patches for their versions of Linux already. Nothing from Ubuntu yet.
Okay, right. And there was also something in the news I caught the other day of the possibility of some web issue over the weekend, people being advised not necessarily to go shopping online.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, some spurious bug, which I would have thought is one of these things. If you're shopping from a reliable retailer, you're not really going to have a problem, are you?
You shouldn't do. I mean, the obvious things to check, as usual, is make sure you're accessing a secure website. So look at your browser.
Padlock has HTTPS,
yes,
isn't it?
S for secure, yes. Look at your browser. You know, if you don't know how your browser displays secure sites, search your browser's help for how a secure site will look. And there's good documentation on these tools that will help you be safer on the web. The other good thing, of course, is make sure you've got unique passwords for every website.
And always.
Don't share your passwords between websites. They're bad to share as well. If you are worried, change your password, and possibly change your password a couple of times a year. Not a bad idea.
Automatic, that's the Pointer Sisters. It's one of those kind of apt tracks, really, because we're going to be talking about home automation now, aren't we, guys?
It's the point, isn't it?
It is indeed. So
that's
Mib,
right,
and Lawrence are here.
The Gadget Guide Sisters, brothers, yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, so we visited your house in January 2013, Mark. And
yeah,
we
didn't realise it was so long ago.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
You got involved in Cambridge 105 since
I
then.
I have, yeah.
Yes. So we looked at what you had in your house then, and just a quick recap. When we walked in the house, you had automated lighting. So as you walked into a room, the lights came on. You had a Sonos multi-room sound system, so you could have music throughout the house, either the same music, generally Cambridge 105, or different music in different rooms if you wanted something different.
That's right.
Yeah. You also had some power management and control of devices using Lightwave RF, and I think you were able to show us turning on your fan in your bedroom. And
I think I turned on the beer chiller from the kitchen
as
well.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Important for the
gadget.
End of the show, the beer was chilled by the time we finished the show. And then you were also monitoring your heating and your energy use.
Yep, and also the TVs in the house in each room could all show whatever was on in the lounge.
And also your CCTV system showed all of your cameras on every TV in the house.
It could, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's changed since then?
Well, we had a walk around the house last night trying to work out what's changed in the past, year and a half. And at first thought, not a lot at all, really. Lots of the projects that I got in mind that I were planning to implement, I haven't actually done.
So one of the ones that you told us about was that when you arrive home, the house greets you now.
Yes. A reference that some sci-fi fans might recognise.
The house style.
Yeah, the house now says, "Good evening, Mark, everything's running smoothly," whether it is or not.
Ah, so you haven't yet worked out how to get the logic of, no, there's
no,
a problem,
no.
The beer fridge has actually not chilled.
No, that would be a big problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the house just tells me everything's fine so that I feel happy when I get home.
Ah, right. Yeah. So are you going to work on an upgrade that the house will be able to tell you beer is warm?
Last weekend I did have a mess about and get to the point where I can make the house say anything I like.
Oh.
I just need to decide what things that would be useful for the house to tell me now.
And did you get a computerised voice which will read from a particular script that you've preset? Is that how it works?
Yes, I can make it say things based on events happening, temperatures, light levels.
So if this happens, say that.
That's okay. Right, yes.
So that's the house now has a personality.
You could say that, yes.
It's a reflection of your personality, isn't it?
Some visitors to the house have recently said that they don't think the house likes them because they've never actually heard it say good evening. They just never arrived at the right time.
Obviously. Yeah. So you had lots of Lightwave RF in the house.
Yeah, so I was using that to turn things like lights on and off, set lights to certain brightness, turn beer chiller and fans on and off.
Still using that?
For some devices, yes, but not for all of them now.
Right, so what have you switched to?
Well, the problem I found with Lightwave RF was that it's all one way. So
right.
in a simple environment where you're using your iPhone or something to turn things on and off, then that's fine because your iPhone always knows the state of the light.
Yes.
My house is a bit more fiddly than that because there's a central control system deciding when to turn things on or off.
Okay.
So the other Lightwave RF devices, like your control systems, like your phone, Android and iOS,
they don't know that the house has already turned a light on.
So you know, you can go to your phone and tell it to turn a light on, and it actually turns it off
because it's on already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've moved to some card access devices, which probably will mean nothing to anyone except in the home automation industry. But basically, they're two way.
Right.
So the house can now know whether that light switch is on or not.
Right.
And
so what sort of brand are these? What are they?
Well, the brand is Card Access.
Okay.
And they use a technology called Zigbee.
Right.
Which
so
is just a wireless
thing. Are these
thing.
Generally commercially available, or do you need to
they
get
are.
Hold of an installer? Who...
They are commercially available, but they're not really aimed at consumers.
Right.
No, they're definitely
ambitious
for...
DIYer?
Yes, but the entry level... To buy into this system is quite high because you need a sort of £1,000 up control system to
right.
to talk to them. So that's not for everybody.
So gadget geeks who might be listening who are keen, where would they actually go to get them if they were keen on stumping up a grand for a
controller? They'd need to find their local installer, and if they just drop me an email, mib@cambridge105.fm, then I'll put them in touch with someone.
Good stuff. So you've changed your Sonos system out?
I've added lots more Sonos devices, so even more rooms can have music in now. The only device I haven't got is the fancy play bar.
Ah, now
Julian, I know you have.
I do have a play bar, and it's interesting because I had a sort of an old, I think it was a Yamaha system, which was actually, you know, it was older and the design of it made it look older still, which involved trailing lots of wires everywhere and back speakers and all the rest of it. And actually, I've found that the play bar does just a good a job. And it's interesting, it seems to do better on something like a good drama, where the sound has been set up correctly, a drama, TV movie, film, depends on obviously how much work the producers have done, than it would on live sport, which is interesting. It doesn't seem to bring it out on that.
I battle with on my surround sound system anyway, so I don't think that's
easy. I always found it very difficult of sort of setting, you know, what was right for, say, a movie, then had completely... said it, because it was nice getting the crowd noise, but it would also be rather good to hear the commentator as well, which was what I found a bit of an issue
live
with.
Live sport, the broadcasters don't seem to be worked out how to balance centre channel for commentators.
No, they seem to be struggling, but the sound bar works well. And one of the reasons why I got it is because the way the house was configured, I've got a terrace similar to what we have around here, but a dining room and a living room where you can kind of walk through from one to the other because somebody knocked the wall down many years ago. And it had ended up where I had the hi-fi in the dining room and not a means of sound in the living room. And actually, I might want to sit in a comfy chair, read the newspaper, and hear either 105 or some other music. So the fact that I can actually switch the sound bar to run either the TV sound or indeed a sound from a radio station or
some of my music collection.
And that's pretty good, the switchable element. And added to that, the fact I can then have it on both and walk from one room to the other, as I might say, potter around on a weekend, tidying up. And even actually putting the TV sound on the other is quite good, because if there's a wicket, you can run back and see the replay.
I noticed you said that you could choose to put sound in other rooms.
So what I observed last night looking at Mib House version 2 was that the music follows you automatically.
Yeah, as you walk between rooms, the music fades up in a room as you enter the room.
So as I walked out the lounge into the kitchen, the music arrived.
And you've done that how? Through some sort of sensor?
There are motion sensors dotted around the house now, so the house knows.
But that's not on Sonos, that'll be on another system.
No, that's part of the Control 4 system. Mm. Which is the fancy.
And this to me is the issue. You know, Lightwave RF, we mentioned Control 4, your little card system, you've mentioned as well.
Cardex.
It's sort of lots of different things added, which I would have thought, somebody like me, I quite like this stuff, but I want one system. I want something which is easy and straightforward. I don't, you know, once he's in, I might add some things to it, but I don't want to... constantly sway, yeah, because people might not always understand.
There is no one system at the moment for the consumer.
There's a gap in the market.
Yeah, there are a couple of competing standards, and one of the most popular ones is Apple's HomeKit, which is a set of protocols that allow Apple to tie together consumer brands from...
That's assuming you're an Apple fan. So where are you going with version 3 of MIBHouse?
Well, guys, we have 30 seconds. Sorry to hurry.
That's okay. 30 seconds, version 3.
I'm focusing more on making the house do what it expects me to do. So if I get home in the evening, it puts Cambridge 105 on for me. Walking around the house at different times of day or night, the lights come onto different levels.
Crumpets pop up as you come in.
That would be nice, but unfortunately I have to do that myself still.
Okay.
and warm coffee hot coffee when you get home. Anyway, that was MIBHouse version 2. Hopefully in a year's time we'll see what version 3 is.
It builds even further.
Coming, we'll see you next year.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Coming up after 6, Neil Whiteside is here. Hello, Neil.
Yeah, I was just going to say, guys, I've actually got... It's like a derivation of Wi-Fi that means when I get home it means the lights are on, dinner is on the go, there's a glass...
It's called Wife.
Yes, it's just called Wife. And that works really well. I recommend you get one.
And how did I know that was coming? Thank you, Neil.
See you soon.
The A14 queuing traffic due to an earlier accident. Two vehicles involved on the eastbound carriageway and junction 24. That's the Cambridge Road at Godmanchester. Got congestion on the A14 back to the A1M junction 14. All the lanes, I'm pleased to say, have now reopened. Busy around town. The East Road, the Newmarket Road and the Queen's Road all doing something very much of a Friday night crawl, I guess. Thank you very much for your company. Have a very good weekend. I'll see you Monday when we're going to be talking strictly with the proprietor of the Bodywork Studio.